Tri-City Amateur Radio Club tips that if there's anyone who needs to make a quick call on the W1DX repeater, please go ahead and do so now, as they'll start the net in about 1 minute. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I'll be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a DL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a DL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is also available on Echolink. Look for W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo, or note number 342027. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Secondly, promote good fellowship among the amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPS net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any comments or questions for the net. We'll ask for those after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPS net. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as I just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events, items of interest, and also a net of the week. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control. When checking into the net, say this is, then release the mic button, and listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you have. Then, slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, and my name is Tim, and I'm your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Here is Kilo Zero Juliet Echo Bravo Josh and Gron with one trivia question.
One Julie Oscar Papa, John Norwich, no question.
Here is Whiskey 1 Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton, no questions, good evening.
Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston, no questions.
Kilo Sierra 1 India, Joe in Uncasville, question.
This is Tango 1 Oscar, Jerry and Preston, no questions.
Okay, so far we have Josh, K0JEB, with a trivia question. John, W1JOP. Chuck, W1FJW. Dave, K1DCT. Joe, KS1I with a question, and Jerry, NT1O. Before we get started, any other check-ins? Okay, Josh, I hope you don't mind. Yours is a trivia question. I'd rather go for the meat of the dinner, if you will, and go to Joe first. And ask Joe, what is your question, KS1I, KC1TWR?
K1TWR, KS1I. My question is this. I'm in the market for an antenna analyzer, and I was wondering who out there is using one, and if they prefer something like a rig expert or a nano VNA. Back to Matt.
Okay, that's a fair question. And you have the rig experts, the nano VNAs. You also have things like the MFJ 259s and 269s of that ilk. So that's a good question. We'll start at the top of the list, and we'll ask Josh also for his trivia question. I think we can manage both of them in the rounds. So Josh, we'll start with you. What's your trivia question? What's your preference for on antenna analyzers? K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JB. Alright, well, first off, I'll answer the question. I would prefer a nano VNA. They are quite small and portable, and you're able to connect them to a PC and actually save the data that you acquire when you analyze your antennas. So there's a little bit of a learning curve, but there's a bunch of good information online about them, and they're starting to be pretty good. However, I also lean towards the MFJ antenna analyzers because they're more of a proven piece of equipment that are a little bit more durable and aren't as susceptible to failure. Let me reset. My trivia question for tonight is, it's informational and a tricky question. So, for those of you that may be familiar with certain aspects of ham radio, there is a ham radio operator by the call sign Whiskey Bravo 4 Alpha Papa Romeo. WB4APR. His name was Bob Berninga, and he passed away yesterday. He is now a silent key. My question for the group is, he contributed over many years to the hobby of amateur radio. What is he best known for? He is considered the father of what? This is K0JB back to net.
Well, Josh, you certainly have me stumped on that. Maybe with somebody as we go down the line, we'll have a good reply to your question and educate us all. And sorry to hear about his passing. Okay, next we'll move on to John, W1JOP. Same question about the antenna analyzer and about WB4APR.
I've heard of call sign, but I'm not really sure what he's contributed, so I'd be interested to hear the answer to that. As far as that question goes, I really have no preference. So I'll turn it back to that. This is W1JOP.
Okay, thank you, John. And I'm kind of in the same boat as you, but let's move on to Chuck. Maybe he has some thoughts on both of these questions, W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, I have no preference on antenna analyzer. I don't have one and haven't used one. Not that I wouldn't like to, but I just never had one. And as far as WB4 APR, I believe this is the gentleman who is responsible for packet radio, the automatic packet radio system. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, very good, Chuck. We have our first suggestion as to the answer to the trivia question. And just a reminder, Chuck, that the Tri-City Club, of which you are a member, does have a MFJ-269 antenna analyzer, so you can borrow that at your leisure if you want to play around with it and see what you think. Okay, let's move on to Dave and get his thoughts on antenna analyzers as well as the trivia question, K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Hi, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Let's see, yes, Chuck had it with the entity call sign prefix is APR. Yes, the grandfather of APRS. As far as antenna analyzers, I have a couple of MFJ 259s. I won't go into the details why I have two, but they work fine and they're simple. They're very simple to use. As Josh put it, the Nano, which I also recently picked one up, is a bit of a learning curve. I find it a bit tedious because it is so small. It's a touch screen. But it's $50 or $60, whatever it was, versus whatever the 259 is or whatever the Rink Expert is, which I understand is a superb unit, but I have not used one. But I have used the Nano and have used the MFJ. And if you want to, you know, if you want to compare and contrast, Joe, we could get together. I'm just across the river from you, so that's my my input, and I'm sure somebody else will have something more to say, maybe about the Rig Expert. Back to that, K1DCT.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And yeah, and I think the Nano VNA actually comes in a couple of different sizes, both small, but the touchscreen and some are smaller than others, so just keep that in mind. Joe, we're going to jump over you and go right to Jerry, and then we'll come back to you. Plus, I'll do a call-out right after Jerry before we get to you, just in case anybody else would like to join. So, Jerry, your thoughts on antenna analyzers and on WB4APR.
WR, this is FT1O. Well, first, I did not know the answer to Josh's trivia question. I had not heard of the individual before. However, I do own a Nano VNA and a Rig Expert. I like them both, and I like them both for slightly different reasons. They both do a lot of the same things that we care about as far as displaying, measuring, displaying, return loss, SWR, reactance, resistance, impedance, inductance, capacitance, all that. They both display Smith charts, they're both in color, and you can store all this data very easily on the Rig Expert. The VNA does one thing that the Rig Expert doesn't. It's a true vector analyzer. So it has two ports on it, and you can measure the input and output size of, let's say, a black box. So you can, when you send a signal in, if there's any reflected signal back to the generator, it will measure that, and then the output, it measures the output, all those parameters going out, and also any reflections coming back. The Rig Expert is a single port, so it only does it on one side. However, as Josh, I think it was, or some Dick, they said, I don't remember whom now, but the VNA is harder to read in daylight. It's not that bright. It is somewhat fragile, and it also is, I guess that really is, it's fragile and it's not that bright. The Rig Expert, however, is very hardy.
They both connect to a computer. They can both transfer to a computer. I like the Rig Expert best unless I need the two-port capability. And that's what I would recommend to someone if they were going to look for something. But I come at this from an engineering perspective. I've used Smith charts and stuff, so I'm comfortable with it. But when I was first learning it, it was something that I didn't find that easy either. So it really depends, I guess, how deep you're going to get into it. I hope that's helpful. And T10, back to Nat.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Yeah, very good comment there. Before we continue, this is the TIPSnet, open to any and all amateur radio operators. If you'd like to join in, give us your thoughts on the questions, or if you have any amateur-related questions, amateur radio-related questions you'd like to ask, please come now with your call sign. Okay, nothing heard, so we'll go back to Joe and see what he thinks of the trivia question, WB4ATR, and what he thinks of the various answers that he got, KS1I, KC1TWR.
Good, KS1I returning. I really appreciated everybody's advice on the Nano VNA versus the Rig Expert. Jerry, that was really good advice that you gave. Dave, I'm going to take you up on maybe taking a look at the MFJ one that you have, but right now I was leaning towards the Nano VNA that's compared to the Rig Expert, and I was weighing that against the cost versus how often I will be using it. And I will be using it basically as a, checking my SWR and impedance and such like that. Let me reset. But thank you both and everybody else. So to get back to WB4ATR, I'm going to side with Chuck. He's the packet radio APRS. I was thought that he was the inventor of the TNC, but I think that's like the Kappa Amateur Radio Club that created that. So, anyways, I'm gonna stick with what Chuck said on that. Back to Net Control. This is KS1I.
Okay, thank you, Joe, and glad that you found some interesting answers there. Okay, we've dealt with all the questions, what have you. I have one for discussion, and this is actually based on an email I received from a vendor, and the vendor is basically creating a DMR QSO contest. And it was interesting because it came to my, usually get emails from this vendor to both my personal email and my amateur radio email. This particular email only came to my personal email, not to the amateur radio, but it's the first ever spring DMR QSO contest, and it's going to be the month of March. But what concerned me was the fact that they had three prizes, and each of them, while not being physical like a radio or what have you, are still something you would have to pay to get, software packages and certain annual subscriptions that come with certain benefits and what have you. So I took it upon myself to write our new ARRL New England Division Director, Fred Kemmerer, AB1OC, and asked him about it. I didn't think that this was very kosher, if you will, of the contest. And his reply, and then I'm going to reset before I read it, so hold on. Okay, he said, "Hi Tim, I agree with you that offering prizes with monetary value for an amateur radio contest is not in the spirit of what amateur radio is about. It appears that this is driven by the vendor, and is not an ARRL contest, so it's not a lot that ARRL can do here. What I would suggest is that you try to rally hams that you know to vote via lack of participation in this. I'd also suggest that you write directly to the vendor and let them know how you feel, and that you encourage others who feel the same way that you do to do the same. I hope this is helpful. Best in 73, Fred Kemmerer, AB1OC. So I just wanted to bring that forth for discussion. This vendor, which is Bridgecom, which has been an upcoming DMR vendor of late, my feelings are that they stepped too far, that it's always been that contest was for bragging rights. You might get emailed to you a certificate that you achieved something, like in the Museum Ships Weekend event. If you contact 17 ships, you get a certificate, and it's mailed to you as a PDF file, that kind of thing. But there's not been contests with monetary value, so I'm curious what everybody else thinks about this. Start at the top with Josh, K0JEB.
K0JB. I'll try and think of how to word this politely. I'm not a fan of Bridgecom per se, and I think their business model is questionable at that, so I'm not going to go into any more detail. I did want to, however, add one more comment towards the Nano VNA discussion, and that was if you ever need to check or adjust a duplexer, you know, the small cans that you would get for a UHF repeater, or the bigger ones for a VHF repeater, you can actually use a Nano VNA to see in real time the notch filter on the spectrum and make adjustments accordingly. I actually, when I had the Tri-City Club 20-meter dirty filter at my house, I hooked up the Nano VNA to it with the, basically it's a signal generator on one side and then a receiver on the other, so I just looped it through the filter, and I was able to actually see on the spectrum where the notch was on the 20-meter band. So I thought that was a cool little trick to do stuff like that. And that's all I have. K0JB.
Okay, thank you, Josh, especially for the additional information about the Nano VNA. That's quite a neat little thing there. And an interesting way to use it. That's good. Okay, let's move on to John, get his thoughts on my question about the vendor having a prize for a contest, WNJOP KC1TWR.
I've dealt with Bridgecom before, and I'm not a big fan of them. Like Josh, I think they're overpriced and whatever. And in general, I've given up on DMR. I mean, I'm active with a few nets on DMR, but that's pretty much it. So that's pretty much all I'll say about that. As far as everything else goes, I hope everybody has a good evening. About ready to get down for dinner here. So I'll light this cure at this moment. I'll be listening, but I won't be able to get back to the radio. This is W1JOP.
Okay, thanks, John, and enjoy your dinner, and we'll look for you again next week. Hopefully everything goes well. Okay, before we continue any further, I'm just going to do another call out. If anybody else would like to join us this evening on the TipsNet, please come now with your call sign. Okay, one other comment while we're talking about Bridgecom systems. They do love to send out emails about what their latest sale is and all the rest of it. I have watched some of their videos where they talk about how to program a DMR radio, and the unfortunate part is usually they're programming it to their hotspot that they also sell. And and they do very little, unfortunately, as far as showing you how to program it for a local DMR repeater. So that's one area I wish they would do better at on their videos. Okay, let's move on to Chuck and see what he thinks about monetary prizes for amateur radio contests. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, I think this one, I got my thoughts on the ethics of the BridgeCom. But beyond the ethics question, I think it becomes the legal question about the pecuniary interest and who's administrating this contest. If they're hams, they're administrating the contest, then I suspect it might be interest on the part of the FCC, because that would look to me like a pretty obvious rule violation. But I'm not a lawyer, and all I can do is guess. Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, thank you, Chuck, and I agree with you. It's one thing for a vendor to be at a ham fest and have a raffle or something of that nature where anyone can enter the raffle. It's another thing to do it with amateur radio, and that does raise the concern about the FCC looking at this and saying, well, if there are now going to be monetary prizes for actions that can only be done by amateur radio operators, are they really amateur? You know, is it... Anyhow, let's move on down the list and see what Dave thinks. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Hey, well, good evening again, K1DCT. I don't have any experience with BridgeCom. I'm not a big fan of DMR. I have a DMR handheld. I've talked to a few people on it. I've tried to check into some nets. Seldom works out, so not a big fan. To me, you know, it's just how many radios you want to carry on your belt to try and talk to somebody. So it's here, it's charged. You know, if the need arises, and I'd go for it. But otherwise, not a big DMR fan. As far as the yes, the prizes. That's a little on the shady side. I'll leave it at that. Like Chuck, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't play one on TV. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express. So I'll leave it at shady. K1DCT. Back to that.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Makes perfect sense. Let's move on to Joe and see what he thinks about this prize for contest event. KS1I, KC1TWR.
Good, KS1I returning. Hey, I turned down my mic gain a little bit, so that might make a little bit difference there. I was monitoring and I thought I was flattering. But anyways, Dave, I just want to let you know that on your input and frequency, you're 60 dB over 9 at my location. So, great signal. Jerry, thanks for the input there on the Nano, and especially about tuning the cavities on a repeater. Regarding prizes for ham radio contesting, you know, there's always going to be people in ham radio or in live that's going to somehow interpret the rules and regulations or the law that suit them, okay? For instance, FT8 on 60 meters, for instance. So there's people out there that's going to say this, that, or the other thing. And so I think ethically that I would have to kind of agree with Chuck saying that, yeah, that's a no-no. But, you know, who am I to say that it's a no-no? Because someone else can interpret that to be, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, it's a big gray area, and it's some place that I really, really, you know, like to stay away from. Back in that control, this is KS1I.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Number one, yeah, your signal, your audio sounds much better. Not that you weren't intelligible before, but it does sound better. Number two, it was Josh that was talking about using a nano VNA on the cans for a repeater. And no setup that he did. I don't think Jerry had mentioned that, but Jerry's going to correct me if I'm wrong because he's up next. Jerry, your thoughts on all items on the floor at T10 KC1 TWR?
I do want to add a few things that I forgot to tell anyone regarding the rig expert, so, but particularly for Joe. By the way, Joe, as far as the give me credit where you just did. I did not provide any of that to you a moment ago, so I think you gave me credit for something somebody else provided you. However, I'm happy to take it, of course, but I don't deserve it. I did mean to tell you, though, that some of the rig experts, mine for instance, will also measure velocity factor and my favorite time domain reflectometry capability, so we'll measure cable length, and I found that very useful. So something else you might care or not care about. And they come with end connectors and an adapter for PL259. So if you start working up into the higher frequencies where you really would like the lower losses of an end connector, that's something that you can connect directly. As far as BridgeCom, I suspect what they're doing is not illegal per se. I believe that the regulations mainly are that we can't conduct business over the air, and that's not being done. Certainly not to the letter of the law. And for those of us who, if we were to win something like a Kenwood, you know, TS990S or some such, we'd feel pretty good about it. Whether or not we care about a course from BridgeCom is a whole different thing. But I suspect that the same ethics or same rules or requirements should regulate, obviously, all of this. So I guess it's just not to the letter of the law. I don't think it's illegal. I don't like it. But it's really just an opinion. So with that, NT10 back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. And yeah, it was Josh who had mentioned the other thing for Joe. But yeah, that's interesting about having that time domain so you can measure the cable length. That I imagine can be very handy, especially if you have something that's cabled to going someplace where you can't get at it easily in order to measure. So that is good. Okay, two rounds here, and we've also covered all open questions. Let me just put this out to the floor. We might have a short night tonight, but let me just open it up to the floor. Any other subjects or questions or ideas that anyone else would like to talk about tonight in the first section of the TIPSnet, please call now.
JEB with an additional question.
Okay, Josh, you're at the top of the list. What a fortunate place to be to have to ask an additional question. Please proceed with your question.
K0JB. Thanks, Tim. So I made quite the purchase today, and I've got some equipment coming in tomorrow from HRO, and I didn't exactly do all my homework, so my question for the group is there any, pros and cons, so to speak, I'm looking for, if anyone has any experience with remote antenna tuners. I purchased a Yaesu or LDG 100. I'm not sure the exact serial number, but it's a remote and auto antenna tuner that is powered through a bias T, and so you mount the tuner at the base of the antenna. And I'm wondering if anyone has any experience with those type of devices, and if so, is there anything I should watch out for? This is K0JB.
Okay, thank you, Josh. That's a very good question. The only remote tuner that I've had experience was when I was on the roof with the TV antenna pointing at where my father was yelling at me to turn it, so that was the remote tuner. But let's move on to Chuck and see if he has any experience or thoughts on your question there, W1FJW.
Well, I have no direct experience with auto antenna tuners. It seems like at the base of the antenna would be an absolutely excellent place to put the tuner, because that would cut out all the extra losses you get from a bad VSWR on your feed line. Since the feed line would see a balanced, matched load, etc. But the Balance T is a device which separates the high frequency RF signal from a DC power going down the coax. So a lot of equipment for lightning protection will simply put an inductor between the center conductor of the coax to ground to bleed off static charges. And that's okay, but it's going to short-circuit the DC output of the bias T, cause the power supply some hot burn, and prevent the auto tuner from getting power. So I'd make sure I didn't have any DC shorts to ground on the feed line between the bias T and the auto tuner. Back to net W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. And let's move on to Dave. I'm wondering if he has any experience with remote tuners. K1DCT.
Good evening again, K1DCT. I don't have any direct experience with remote tuners, but what Chuck said is obviously accurate. You know, if you're going to ground that or provide some sort of lightning protection for that antenna, you want to do it on the antenna side of that remote tuner, and not try and do it on the bias T side where you've got the DC and the RF. Because as Chuck stated, it won't be happy. So, you know, we like happy antennas. Back to that, K1DCT.
Okay, thank you, Dave. I'm going to do another call out in just a moment or two. First, I want to get to Joe and Jerry, and then we'll do another call out. Joe, any thoughts on the remote tuners, KS1I, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet?
KS1I returning. Remote tuners are kind of a mystery to me, unless they're right next to the radio. Maybe at one time I knew this, but, you know, if you put a remote tuner at the base of a tower or where your antenna is, my question is SWR changes where you put the meter in relation to the coaxial cable. So I don't have any thoughts about that. It's just a mystery. I know what Chuck was talking about for the bias T, because I use one on 70 centimeters and for a camp. But other than that, that's all I got, guys. Back to net control. This is KS19.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Let's move on to Jerry. Any experience and thoughts on remote tuners at T10?
I have some near experience, which means that close but no cigar. When I first started as a ham, I purchased the Yaesu FC40, which is a remote tuner. For the reasons Chuck said, I really liked the idea that if I had the tuner itself at the antenna, then I'm truly tuning for SWR regarding, you know, right at the antenna, and I'm going to be getting pretty much no losses or very low losses along the entire feed line, because that's all 50 ohm from the transceiver all the way out to the tuner, and then the tuner is matching to the antenna as the frequency changes. I ended up returning it, and that's why I said near experience, mainly because I didn't look closely enough at the specs, and it was only good for about 100 watts, and I ended up getting a Polestar that can work up to 1500, and I've since gone to an amp and a tuner that works at 500. The tuner is automatic, but it's in the station. So the fact of the matter is I'm still not where I want it to be. I still think a remote tuner is the best way when you're not using a single band antenna that's going to be resonant and such. But that's the extent of it. In my experience, like I say, almost nil. Just the theoretical part is clear and obvious. I don't see any problem with providing power out to remote tuner on the same cable, as long as you do have it separated. But like Chuck said with the bias T, if your bias T does have an inductor that goes from the sensor to the shield, you're going to lose that DC as a short, and the power supply, whatever is supplying it, is not going to like it for very long. It's going to either fuse will blow, brick will trip, or something could burn out. So I would just make sure that, Josh, that you don't have that situation. And as far as what Chuck said about bleeding off things like rain static that can accumulate, there are some tuners, mine for instance from Elecraft, that actually has bleed resistors that will reduce that. And I think the Alpha Delta switches also do the same thing to keep rain static voltage buildup to a minimum. That's about it. And T10 back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Good commentary there. Okay, if anybody else would like to join us here on the TIPSnet, having a thought on Josh's question, or some other question, please come now with your call sign. Okay, before we leave the first section, go to the second section, I would like to go back to Josh and see if any of these commentaries have helped him at all.
KC1TWR is K0JB. Very good. Chuck, thanks for pointing out the DC grounding issue. Luckily, that won't be an issue for me. And also, there was another tidbit that I wanted to touch on. I think it was Joe that mentioned it was kind of a mystery about putting a tuner out at the antenna because the SWR would be different. And when he said that, it dawned on me that not everybody knows that the reason why your SWR is going to be different when you check it at the antenna versus at the other end of your coax in the house is because if you have a high SWR, you can technically hide that SWR reading by having a lossy coax. So if your coax has a loss in it, the SWR is actually going to be lower if you were to check it in the house at the, you know, tuner right next to the radio versus out at the base of the antenna. Just thought I'd point that out. But anyway, very good, and thank you everybody for your feedback. It's K0JB.
Okay, very good, Josh. Before we start the second section, are there any other comments or questions before we move on to section two? Please call now.
AS-1I.
AS-1I, go ahead.
Josh, that was an excellent explanation. I love this net, and I love people who are smarter than me. you know, being a ham since 1974, I still don't have all the answers, and if I did have all the answers, I'd forgotten most of the answers. But, man, thank you, Josh, for bringing that to my attention, and love this net, love this people. Back to Net Control, KS1I.
Okay, very good. Very good indeed. Indeed, that's what this net is for, and I myself feel absolutely wonderfully surrounded by so many people with so much more knowledge than I do. So, okay, any last comments before you move on? Please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of the TIPS net. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? If so, please call now.
K1DCT.
K1DCT, please proceed.
I'm just passing this along. I heard today from NT10 that the Thursday morning old time breakfast are back on at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. So it has been suspended for a while, we'll call it, because of, you know, the ongoing pandemic thing. So but I heard from Jerry today that they're back on. So so inclined, tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, Old Times Restaurant, West Main Street, Norwich, K1DCT.
Okay, very good. Very good indeed. And I'd also like to mention that next Tuesday evening there'll be a VE session at the Red Cross office. We have 5 candidates currently. We've had some VEs sign up for it. So looks like it's a go. Face masks will be required. We recommend that if someone would like to attend and take an exam for tech, general, or extra, please contact me, KC1TWR. My email is goodonqrz. We'd like to know in advance if possible. We probably won't turn anybody up if they just show up, but we'd like to plan ahead of time if possible. Let's see, next Thursday is the RACON meeting, and I believe RACON also has a technical presentation coming up in 2 weeks on a Tuesday, the 22nd. Details of that are at racon.org website. Normally this evening, at most TIPSnets, we would have a Net of the Week by Kevin K6PDG, but I have not heard his call sign yet. Let me just do a quick call in case he's been patiently waiting on the wings to do that. Kevin K6PDG, are you there with a Net of the Week? Okay, apparently not, which means that his penance maybe might have to give us 2 Nets of the Week next week. Hopefully he's doing well, and he either slipped his mind about the net this evening or some other activity took priority. Okay, let's move on to the third section of the TIPS net. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
Hi.
K0JEB.
Okay, we'll take them in the order that I heard them, KS1I and K0JEB. So, Joe, KS1I, please proceed.
Good morning. Still have a 2-meter monoband vertical antenna. It's in great shape. I've been using it for the last, 20 years. It's free to a good home. Back to net, this is KS1I.
Can you give us a little bit of a description on that? How tall is it? That kind of, what type of things is it normally best mounted on, et cetera?
Hey, KS1I, returning. It's approximately 7 feet tall. It has three short radios on the bottom, an SL239 connector on the bottom. It can be adjusted, but it's pretty much flat across the 2 meter band. It's mounted on a pole anywhere from 1 inch all the way up to, I think, 2.5 inches. And it's just a monoband 2 meter antenna.
Very good. And your email is good on in QRSAT?
My email is good, or I can give you my telephone number and they can text me. It's all depends.
Okay, if anybody has any interest with that, why don't you go ahead and call Joe and he can give you your cell phone number. So if you have an interest, give him a call on the air right now.
KS1I, K0JB.
Go ahead, Josh. Copy my telephone number here. It's 860-912-6170. You can text me and we can get together.
All right. Just to verify, 860-912-6170, QSL.
So.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. And now we'll go to Josh, who is going to offer for sale the radio he just bought. No, I'm kidding you, Josh. Josh, what do you have for the third set part of the TIPSnet?
K0JB. Actually, I don't have anything to sell. I am looking for two RG8U PL259 connectors. Not the crimp on style, but the kind that you just kind of screw on the end of the coax and then solder the ends. Any reasonable price, and I'm open. I'm not sure. I know some people have that kind of stuff kicking around. So it's K0JB.
Okay, if anybody has any, or any questions about those items for Josh, go ahead and call him right now. Okay, let's move on then. Any other items for swap sell or looking for an amateur radio related items? If so, please call now. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, net control for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Any additional comments from those who have checked in, please call now.
K0JB.
K0JB, go ahead.
All right, Tim. I didn't know if we had done any advertising or not, but are we able to advertise the Saturday morning breakfast club net that we've been doing?
Oh, yes, we are indeed. Would you like to do that? Would you like me to?
You got more of the details with the contact information, so go ahead, sir. It's K0JB.
Okay, Dave covered the fact that the Old Times restaurant, which has had a long history of having an amateur radio breakfast on Thursday mornings at sharply 7 o'clock when the doors open, and I've been there and it's been a very good time. But for those of us who are still waiting for the positivity factor to drop below where it is so far, I started a Zoom session on Saturday mornings. It's been from 8 to 9:30. I'm probably going to stretch that from 8 to 10 going forward. It's just a Zoom session for in place of an amateur radio breakfast. So bring your coffee, bring anything you happen to be working on. Just general chit chat. There is no agenda. It's not a business meeting. It's not restricted to any particular club. It's not even really just it's really open to anybody and everybody, including those people who are looking for amateur radio licenses. So, you know, it's really open discussion. If you want the Zoom link, send me an email address. My email is good, QRZ. Just look for Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. And actually, my email address is my name, my call sign, at gmail.com. So that would be timkc1twr@gmail.com, and I'll send you the link. I will be sending out a reminder, which I didn't do last week. I'll be sending out a reminder either late Thursday or early Friday this week to the various clubs. Just remind them that it's there. We're not dragging people out of the woodwork to go there, but we're just making it available for those that would like to chit-chat and what have you. And we've had a good time. Any questions about the Zoom event, please call now. Okay, Josh, anything you want to add to that?
Let's see. No, I think you covered it, but, you know, when Tim said the discussion was pretty much about anything, it's about anything. One morning, we had a discussion about soldering circuit boards and stuff like that, and, you know, you never know where the conversation's going to go, and it's all fun, all in the comforts of your own home, and, you know, I usually take off after I finish my first cup of coffee, so, you know, all are welcome. Back to you, Tim. It's K0JB.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the reminder there, Josh. And we'll see how it goes. Okay, that seems to have wrapped up that part of it. Any other last comments or any other check-ins, please call now.
Here's WF1C, Whiskey Foxtrot 1 Charlie.
WF1 Net recognizes John. WF1C, you snuck in there. Hopefully you've been listening for a little bit. Any last, we're just starting to wrap up the net. Any comments before we wrap up?
Yeah, I've got, should have some new PL259 connectors here. I found used one. If I can find a new one, I'll give them to Josh. If I can't, you can have a used one.
Okay, Josh, you want to call John real quick?
John, that'd be great. Used, new, it doesn't matter. I got to make a coax jumper, and I looked in the junk drawer, and there was nothing there. So just let me know. You can get a hold of me through email, and we can figure it out. It's K0JB.
Okay, thanks to our conversation a few weeks ago, I know roughly where you live. Not doing anything tomorrow, so maybe we can hook up then. I'm sure you have a job or some such thing, unlike me. I got the used ones here. I'll pull the stuff out of them, clean them up a little bit. But I should have some new ones. I just can't find them at the moment.
Okay, very good. We'll go ahead and close the net then. If Josh and John want to continue to chatter, they can, which is good, fine. So, I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank everyone that participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. I'd like to thank Josh, John, Chuck, Dave, Joe, Jerry, and John for attending the session this evening. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meetings on the second Tuesday of each month, which was last night. Normally at the American Red Cross office, but lately it's been on Zoom. The meetings start at 7 p.m. and they're open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club and the meetings, location, and Zoom information may be found at the TriCityARC.net website. That's TriCityARC.net. We thank John W1AN for the use of the repeater. We also thank Joe K1IKE for the echo link connection. and Kevin, KA6PDG, for providing us usually with the net of the week, and also recording these nets and making them available at am1700.org/tipsnet. That's Alpha Michael, 1700.org/tipsnet. Tipsnet is all one word, all lowercase. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular imagery use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo wishing everyone a good evening in 73.